Yo, what's up? We're back. Another episode of Wheel Wednesday podcast, Behind the Wheel. If anyone's looking on YouTube, you guys might be thinking, who is this next to me here today? I am with not Scott, but I'm here with the new marketing manager here at Koenig Wheels, John Carey.
What's up? How you doing?
Yeah, John, what's up, man? This is the first, well, it's actually the second time John's been on the podcast. He was on the podcast remotely a couple weeks ago.
I was. Yeah. So we did a little bit of the remote thing, and this week I'm in the office and made the trip out and sort of checking things out for the first time. And
yeah, so John's enjoying New York this week.
Yeah, so I find it funny that here we are in the office, and I'm the one in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're the one that's a native to New York area wearing a jacket.
Yeah.
And I'm the Southern Californian that moved to Tennessee and I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Hey, listen, whatever you say, it's still chilly in this room, but you know, I'm feeling a little breezy, you know?
Breezy. Come on, with that jacket?
No, but you know, like a lot of the podcasts that we have, it stems from conversations that we have here in the office, and a lot of it ends up being arguments or something like that or whatever it may be. And then we go, you know what, that's a good topic to talk about. And here we are. So, you know, something that we were talking about earlier today was kind of more or less like luxurious features in vehicles today versus what is actually a luxury car, right? Like that was something that we were talking about earlier.
Well, yeah. I mean, so what is that definitive line between what makes a vehicle a luxury vehicle versus what makes a car that has luxurious options?
Yeah.
And what are those features, or is it brand thing? Is it features and functions? Like, what is it? Like, who defines, or is it a public thing? Is it, I think kind of ramble on and on about it, but yeah, what is the difference between luxurious options and a luxury vehicle?
Yeah, I have my own thoughts on this, and like, you know, I don't think me and John see eye to eye on it, but I think that's what makes a nice conversation. But, you know, for myself, like, I feel like a lot of people today, when they think of luxury stuff, I think it's starting to shift more towards technology and less away from some of that, you know, things that used to make luxury cars.
Yeah, but tech is tech. Like, even today's budget cars have tech.
Right.
I don't think that tech is the ultimate, you know, definitive answer to what luxury is, because if you jump into a luxury vehicle, like let's take an S-Class, for example.
Yeah, definitely a luxury vehicle.
That is definitely a luxury vehicle.
Yep.
Okay, why? Well, probably the leather. There is a ton of tech in that vehicle, fantastic tech in that vehicle, but there's a sense of refinement that comes from that car that you're not going to find a vehicle with luxurious options.
Yeah. But see, now this is where I feel like you walk just with the things that you said. I know that you know that there's more things about the S-Class and, you know, that weren't mentioned right there. But like, if you were going to say leather seats, tech, and some refinement, you can argue that a new GTI is luxurious then. Or is that a luxury car? It's very much a sports car.
It's definitely not a luxury car.
You know what I mean? But those are the features that you just rattled off. So like, what are the differences that define an S-Class and a GTI?
Ooh, well, I mean, those are two wildly different options, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because a GTI, I would argue, is a sports commuter car, right? Like, I'll probably get some hate on that because it's, you know, a lot of folks use it for commuting, general transportation. It does have sporty features. It's got some great luxurious options, you know, heated seats, maybe cooling seats, things like that. But it goes beyond in that for example, like an S-Class, right? You're going to have insulated body panels. You're going to have insulated glass. You're going to have a higher quality leather interior. You're going to have massaging seats and, you know, hi-fi and sort of reclining and like things you'd expect from a luxury vehicle.
Yeah.
That you might be able to put heated seats in a GTI, but that, again, doesn't make it a luxury vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even taking, if we look at it from a single vehicle perspective, let's rewind the clock. A G-Wagon.
Okay.
G-Wagons are originally designed to be almost farm equipment for military. It was a military vehicle that people use for farm equipment and all sorts of things, right? But today's G-Wagon is far from farm equipment or military vehicles.
And I don't even know if I consider that like a luxury vehicle. You know what I mean? Like, do you?
Do you consider Mercedes to be a luxury brand or make luxurious vehicles?
Yeah, see, they're definitely a luxury brand. They make luxurious vehicles. I mean, I don't know, but the G-Wagon itself, like, how luxurious is that really?
Well, I would say that a G-Wagon is not a luxury vehicle.
Okay, so, okay.
I think it's a, you know, a former military surplus vehicle with luxurious options.
Right.
You know,
in the same way that you can get an economy car with luxurious options.
Yeah, like an Elantra Premium versus whatever something else might be. Right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a, I'm trying to think of a good analogy for it, but it's not. It has great luxurious options, but I would not say that it is a luxury vehicle. I would say that an S-Class or a Bentley or a Rolls, those are luxury options.
Now, well, I guess the question that comes to my head is more or less like, do people give a crap about those features that you get with the Bentley and the S-Class and all that stuff? Now, I feel like with the amount of tech that comes in cars today, people find those luxurious features enough to not consider getting a true luxury car.
Then why are people buying Mercedes?
I personally feel like it's for the branding. That's what I feel like. I think it's a status thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you really think people are appreciative of a well-refined chassis and an incredible smooth ride, a quiet ride, while still having power to put down?
There, I would argue that there is a wealth of differences between a vehicle with luxurious options versus a luxury vehicle.
I would agree too, but do people actually care about that?
Well, if they didn't care about it, we wouldn't have brands like Bentley, Mercedes, Rolls, insert all these brands in between.
Mm-hmm.
The brands wouldn't be there because everyone would be driving econo boxes with luxurious options.
But if you had disposable income to that amount of money, like, wouldn't you say it's fair that some of the people who buy those cars may just buy it for the brand?
Oh, I'm sure there's some, you know what I mean? Status associated with it.
Yeah.
Of course, absolutely. Like why wouldn't there be?
If you had that kind of wealth, like, are you really like looking into every single feature and be like, no, I want the Bentley Continental over the S-Class because of X, Y, and Z?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're jumping into that category of a vehicle, like if you're getting like ordering a Bentley or a Rolls,
yeah,
like you're having that one-on-one concierge service of like, I want this stitching, I want these features, mm-hmm. I want the stars roof, and like these are things that come from a luxury vehicle. And I think sort of the defining difference between a vehicle that has luxurious options versus being a luxury vehicle goes beyond the tech aspect of it, but it goes into the fit and finish, the use of materials, the drive characteristics of the vehicle. And even some vehicles say that have, you know, larger power plants, mm-hmm. right? You know, I'm sure someone would probably argue like, oh, a vehicle with a bigger motor makes it more luxurious.
I feel that way.
Maybe.
I personally feel that way.
But why is that motor the defining factor?
I've always thought that, like, the way I understood cars and luxury cars, whatever, was always like, you know, luxury means power. Like it's luxurious not to have that wimpy engine, and you can, you know, you have power to put down. I feel like that in itself is a luxury.
So if you rewind the clock to like Rolls Royces from the 90s with massive liter engines,
may not be a great example.
Cast iron blocks.
And yeah.
All of 200 horsepower and, you know, 8 liters.
Right.
That's luxury?
No, but fast forward a little bit further and then, or say even 10 years further, whatever it may be, if you want to get a V8 in a car, you got to get a truck. But if you want to, or you can get it in a luxury vehicle, you can't really get that somewhere else.
I mean, like back in the day when, was it?
Or a muscle car.
Or like when Lincoln tried to do, was it the Mark IV truck or whatever
Which was a horrible truck.
Yeah. It was an F-150 that was, you know, cloaked and it just, you know, it had some cool features to it. But
yeah,
that was not, I wouldn't say a shining achievement in Ford's opportunity to make a luxury truck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny when you talk about American cars and stuff, like, I don't think anyone strives to own a Lincoln today, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the modern Lincolns, like the Aviators, and I mean, I don't know all the names of them. Yeah. But
rightfully so, too.
Well, I'm not exactly in the market for one.
No.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's like the difference between a Ford Explorer and a Ford Expedition, right? Mm-hmm. So the Aviator and whatever the equivalent is to the larger size. I would argue that the Lincoln vehicles are luxury vehicles
mm-hmm.
because of the fit and finish inside, you know, the color palette associated with the vehicle, the trim and cut of the seats and
overall build quality, I guess.
Yeah, build quality, ride comfort. You know, those you may have a bigger motor that's coming with it, but the whole point of that is not to like sports car, like kick in the pants and go. It's more of like a shove versus a kick.
Yeah.
As far as acceleration and driving, you're not going to put that car into a corner. While it may take a corner quite well, your emphasis behind that vehicle is driving and comfort.
Right. I mean, you know, there's people out there who are not like me who don't buy a car every single year. Like, you know, like I get a new car every year, it feels like. But there are some people who might be driving around in a car they've had for the last 10, 15 years or something like that. And like, if they're finally looking for a more modern day car, they can look at features on this stuff that maybe their older car doesn't have and be like, man, this is super luxury. And they could be talking about maybe just an economy car, which I think is so funny.
Yeah, but it goes back to a car with luxurious options actually being a luxury vehicle.
Yeah.
And so while the everyday Joe may want to buy a car that has luxurious options because whether it's affordability, practicality, whatever it might be, you know, there's an additional level of consideration when it comes to owning a luxury vehicle that maybe not everyone wants, maybe they can't afford or whatever it might be, but I think there are clear differences between luxurious options, like heated seats, for example, right? Heated seats were something that maybe you found in the Rolls Royce of 30 years ago that, you know, like, oh my goodness.
Or heated steering wheel.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, my Gladiator has heated seats and a heated steering wheel.
Right.
You know, and where I live now, it's fantastic with the remote start that comes with it, right? Yeah. But by no means would I say that those three functions that come on the vehicle make it a luxury vehicle.
But are those things that you value in a really like high regard when looking for the car, when looking for your Gladiator, you know, as an example?
Yeah, I mean, especially with where I moved and having winters and where it's actually getting cold.
So
yeah, I would want those features, but.
So what would a luxury brand had to do? I mean, a Gladiator is not a great example, but let's just say a luxury brand was putting out a pickup truck that was supposed to be a luxury vehicle. What would you expect from that in order to make it worthwhile to switch from the Gladiator?
Well, hold on. Let's take a look at modern cars right now. Sure. Right? The new Land Cruiser, right? Mm-hmm. So we saw recent reports of
beautiful,
it coming out.
Beautiful truck.
Yeah, great vehicle. You know, our sort of family truckster is an LX470,
mm-hmm.
right? 100 series Land Cruiser. But looking at the modern version of it, you have the GX
mm-hmm.
and you have the Land Cruiser. Both are built on the same chassis.
Yep.
Difference being that the Lexus is going to have the twin turbo V6.
Mm-hmm.
The interior fit and finish of the vehicle is going to be a lot nicer, mm-hmm. higher quality materials. Again, different color palette. Not saying that color palette is a defining feature of luxury, but it is a symbol of luxury. And then Land Cruiser itself is going to have a hybrid four cylinder with cloth interior seats.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll probably use a different type of glass and the windshield and windows. And so at which point I would say that the GX is the luxury vehicle of the two.
Yeah.
Because of all the additional refinements that go into it.
Beyond just the badge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there are higher level trims of the Land Cruiser, which, you know, will be a lot nicer than the cloth leather or the cloth seats and things like that.
I actually don't know. What's the difference in price between the two? Like, how much are we talking?
I think the GX is starting at mid to high 60s.
Okay.
And the Land Cruiser they just released 50, this week, it's 58. Like mid 50s.
Okay.
So 55, 58, the number's been kind of bouncing around a little bit.
Wait, do you think that people... That's where I run into the same question. I don't want to be too repetitive on the podcast, but like, I don't know if people are going to look at the Land Cruiser and be like, no, that's not enough. I want a more luxury vehicle. Or are they just looking at it and be like, no, I have the money. I'll just take the more status symbol. You know, get the same job done that I was looking for, but I'm not going to drive a Toyota.
Well, I mean, it's funny because at the end of the day, they're both Toyotas.
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah.
Position on that. But I would argue that if someone really has the money to do it and wants additional refinements,
mm-hmm.
they get the GX.
Oh, you know what? I have a great example. Myself, I've wanted a Civic Type R for numerous years now. Mm-hmm. Like, I've really, really wanted a Civic Type R. The new FL5 came out, and I looked at it and I said, man, this car is great. I love this car. Then Acura goes, you know what? Integra Type S. And now I look at the Integra Type S and I go, I don't think I would ever buy the Type R. I would want the Type S.
Yeah, but...
And it's the same car, you know?
It is the same car, but I would say that Acura is more of a...
I know.
I wouldn't call it a luxury brand.
I know. A lot of people don't. And I don't know. I feel like if it isn't, what is it?
Well, maybe it's Honda's version of luxury, right? Because kind of an interesting way of positioning it. But,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, Honda's always been a very practical brand and kind of what they bring to market, whether it's in their motorcycles or their cars.
Mm-hmm.
I've owned a Honda Element way, way back in the day. And then even my family had a different variation of that. So I had an EX all-wheel drive. They had an SC, which is positioned to be more of the urban pounder sort of spec of the vehicle. And Acura has always been positioned as a nicer version of Honda vehicles. But again, I wouldn't say that it's a luxury brand. I, you know, in that sense, I wouldn't say that a more expensive vehicle is a luxury vehicle. That, sure, luxury vehicles are going to have a higher dollar figure to them, but that doesn't mean that, say, Acura is a luxury vehicle because it is a nicer version of a Honda.
Right. So, I mean, then if you scale it back, if you took their cheapest car that they offer, which is a base model Integra, like, I think there are plenty of people out there that would look at that and call it a luxury vehicle because it's a quote-unquote luxury brand. But you don't feel that way.
Not at all. I would say it's a nicer vehicle, but I wouldn't consider it to be a luxury vehicle.
What about something like an A-Class out of Mercedes?
It's an affordable Mercedes.
So not a luxury car.
I would not. I mean, it's a luxury brand, but at the same time, Mercedes, I mean, they have a Formula One team. They came out with their hypercar. Like, you know, those are sports vehicles, but, you know, most of what they bring to the market are
luxury
vehicles.
Yeah, yeah.
I would probably argue that an A-Class would be affordable luxury.
Okay.
Maybe
on the same level as an Integra then.
But see, again, I think you're trying to continue position Integra as a luxury vehicle.
I think it's as much of a luxury vehicle as the A-Class is.
Okay. What about an E-Class?
No, there's a separation there.
What would you define as the separation?
Probably build quality and just kind of overall perception, I guess. And Integra is supposed to be more of a sports car to begin with, like more of
a nicer built car.
Well, it's supposed to be more on the level of like a economy friendly sporty car, you know, as opposed to the E-Class, which is kind of like the real entry level into luxury.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think it, Acuras are a luxury vehicles. I think that it's a premium vehicle. A premium sports vehicle, luxury is, you know, you have luxury cars out there that have some great features and functions to them, but it's when you're driving in a luxury vehicle, your idea of sort of you going down the road, it's not that you can take a corner that much faster, is that you're getting to your final destination that much more comfortable.
Okay. Yeah.
And in Acura, sure, it might be a little bit more comfortable getting to that destination, but it's also being positioned as a higher end performance vehicle.
So in terms of, let's say, modern day Mazda, which has kind of separated itself from Nissan, Toyota, Honda by kind of going a more luxurious route, would you put a modern day Mazda on the same level as Acura? Or is there still a separation there?
I think the Mazda question, it goes a bit deeper because obviously they've removed Zoom and you know the dealerships used to have the sort of white, you know, orange and green look to them, and you know, now it's more of white, black, and chrome and wood trim. You know,
because they try to revamp that brand identity, right?
I would put them as it's a good question because Mazda has definitely tried to position themselves as a nicer brand.
And frankly, like they're fully loaded cars. You have, like, when the new Mazda 6 comes out, it's gonna be incredible. It's gonna be a great car.
Right, but I would argue that it's still a vehicle with luxurious options and not a luxury vehicle.
Okay. I mean, I think that's fair because Mazda is not quite there yet, but, you know.
I don't think Mazda will ever be there. It's not in their brand DNA to be a luxury vehicle. You know, it's in Rolls-Royce's DNA to be a luxury vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll have luxury performance vehicles, much like, you know, you will have... you know, an Acura is a sports car with luxurious options.
Yeah.
You know, there's different ways of presenting it, right? And so, you know, when you're looking at the Rolls-Royces and the Bentleys of the world, there's a level of refinement that you get with those cars that justify their price tag, right? So you're having real wood trim, say that three times fast.
Yeah, real wood trim.
Yeah, exactly. Versus coated trim that looks like wood.
Yeah.
You know, you're having craftsmen make the leather seats for the vehicle versus a machine stitching them together.
Yeah.
You know, it's the build of the vehicle goes beyond an assembly line.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, going down to your local tailor and having a custom made suit versus going to 3-day suit broker.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, I would say that, you know, most, you know, regular brands, whether it's the Hondas and Mazdas, or, you know, it's like going to the 3-day suit broker and like, you're going to like, someone's going to make some adjustments to it and kind of fit it to you, but it's way different than going to a custom tailored suit shop, which is what, you know, I would think from a luxury vehicle, the Bentleys and the Rolls.
I'm more of a Caraco suits guy myself. No, I'm kidding.
Fair enough.
No, I'm kidding. I've never been there, but there's one in my town that I live in. Well, that's funny, because I kind of feel like looking at it, I feel like I do consider Acura to be a luxury brand, but I consider them probably at like the lowest of luxury brands. Like, that's kind of like the real kind of bottom barrel kind of where you draw the line. And then I think Mazda is going to work themselves up as being the kind of most luxurious non-luxury brand. That's why I kind of feel like they're going to kind of be very close to each other.
Yeah, I don't think it, when I think of Mazda, I don't think of luxury.
Not yet, but I think they are doing a really good job on their kind of rebranding and marketing for themselves, you know?
Well, they've certainly amplified the vehicles a little bit, but
I had a 21 Mazda 3, just a regular Mazda 3, and at the time I was doing long commutes, and I mean, I must say the build, there was no rattles and you know, that kind of crappy plasticky feels that you would expect from typical Japanese compact commuter cars, you know, okay. I mean, economy cars. Like, it didn't have that. It was very nice. Like, it was felt pockets and stuff like that, you know, along the door panels. Like, those little touches alone were kind of just kind of elevated beyond what I would have expected.
Yeah, I mean, so...
I'm not gassing them up to be all that great, but all I'm saying is that there is a definite level of separation between a base Civic and a Mazda 3.
But if you're commuting, what kind of a vehicle do you want?
Something going on gas.
Okay, so you bought a Mazda because it's a fuel economy, but it had some luxurious options.
Yes, yes. That's what I would say. Yeah, I'm going to throw a wrench at you real quick. So,
okay.
So do you think that luxury vehicles could be subjective in the sense of what people deem as luxurious options? So, like, I'll give for my example is that in a sense of a literal luxury, self-driving, self-parking, stuff like that, that's a literal luxury. Like... Now, when you look at like EVs and tech cars, do those walk a line on being luxury cars at all?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all.
So you don't think that like...
Because tech is tech. Because you can... Ford has had self-parking functionality in Escapes.
Yeah.
A Ford Escape, there is nothing in the definition of that vehicle that includes luxury.
They actually are pieces of crap too.
So, you know, I would say that is tech.
What about if you looked at a car like tech. What if you looked at a car like a Lucid? Like a Lucid, which is like a, you know, full EV, and I forgot what they have, but you could like recall that car or something like that, or drive up to your driveway or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but
I would still consider that tech.
Okay.
Like, I would say that it's still luxurious options, with a high tech package.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough about Lucid to say kind of a delineating factor of where it kind of falls in the line of vehicles. But when I think of luxury vehicles, you know, yeah, they're probably going to be a little bit bigger in stature. You know, they're going to be a little bit more of a lumbering mass. But, you know, the emphasis behind a luxury vehicle is to get somewhere in comfort and maybe style.
Do you think that like as these iPad kids or Gen Z kids that grew up on iPads and stuff like that, as they grow older, do you think that they're gonna like value those tech features more as creature comforts rather than real luxury cars?
I would say, you know, a bit of an evolution of times. I mean, because back in the day with vehicles, you know, an electric window.
Yeah.
Was a great tech feature, right?
Max is still over there, you know, doing one of these. Max is, he's doing that every day.
You know,
kids can't even fathom that, you know?
Well, I mean, mine can. I mean, we've got a fun little weekend car to kind of blast around. And
I guess
there's
true.
No tech in it.
There's got to be plenty of families out there, though. If you told a kid, hey, roll down the window, they'd be like, what is this? You know, like yeah. That's, but Max is over here on his commute every day doing these. But yeah, go on.
So I would say that, you know, as we move on with vehicles, certain high tech functions are going to be coming more mainstream, you know, much like.
Which they are again, already.
Right. So yeah. Electric windows, right? Great example where these days, go find me a car that has mechanical rolling windows.
I think the last one was a Kia Forte.
Is that the only one
that I can think of? I think. Yeah. I want to say the last one. It was actually pretty recent. Like, that came out in like 2014. I think it still had rolled down windows.
Yeah. And so I think where we're going to find ourselves in a position that there will be technology that is more commonplace, but it doesn't, technology does not replace luxury.
Okay.
That, I mean, and yes, most luxury cars are going to have a tremendous tech package associated with it. But there, again, the level of refinement that goes in the vehicle, you know, it's like, okay, go find, we'll use a Hyundai again, like you're going to go sit in a parking lot or you're driving down the road, right? And yes, the vehicle has some sound insulation, but you're still going to hear certain things on the road. You're mm-hmm. going to hear a little bit of wind noise. You're going to feel the bumps maybe a little bit more.
Right.
You know, the rattles are going to be much more obvious to hear.
Yep.
Versus you, when you're rolling down the road in an S-Class, the only thing you hear is your thoughts.
I mean, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, and I keep saying this, it's refinement.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that a inexpensive vehicle doesn't have refinement,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's just the stacking of features and functions in a vehicle, coupled with, you know, additional tailored results or tailored finishes to the vehicle that just make it that much nicer. Yeah. I mean, you rolling, you know, I've driven a couple S classes and like they're fantastic to drive. And like, you know, that you're in a vehicle that has like, there's a status associated to it. There's the comfort, mm-hmm. you know, the command you have of the road. Go try to find that command in the road with an Elantra. Good luck.
I think this is basically where I'll end with my general thoughts on the whole thing, I think. Because like my end-all, be-all thoughts on this are kind of along the lines of like, if you are a person who's looking for luxury stuff or whatever it may be, like, and you look at all the luxurious features yeah. that are available in cars today, are you, with the raising prices of cars today, are you going to look at real luxury cars and be like, you know what? I'm going to save up an extra year so I can get that car because I want X, Y, and Z. But the real things that will make them different beyond features will be refined chassis and, you know, better suspension and stuff like that. Or and then just, you know, better build quality and refinement, like you said. Like, are people going to see that value today is what my question really kind of is. Like, I don't believe people are going to see the value in that. If you had a person who, like you said, was debating between the Land Cruiser and the GX, yeah. I don't think there's enough people out there who don't have disposable income, and they're going to look and say, you know what, I'm going to wait a year and save up for that GX. I love it that much more. I think they're going to say Land Cruiser is good enough.
Sure, aspirational, but yeah. You know, at the end of the day, if people weren't, Mercedes would be closing stores right now.
I guess that's true, but I think there's just more rich people out there than I know, because I don't know anyone like that. But, you know, there's clearly people out there. But, again, I have speculation to believe that they buy it for the brand and not for the true things that make it what it is.
Yeah, no, I there's a level of detail that goes into luxury vehicles that you're not going to find in sub-level vehicles.
But are these people going to take their car on a lift and look at it and be like, you know what, this is why I bought this car. Like, this oh, is, like,
they're not, they're you know not putting I mean? On a lift themselves. Are you,
know
you kidding
exactly.
me?
Exactly.
Their nails are getting way too dirty to even consider getting out and putting the jacks up.
You know what
up.
I mean, though? But they're going to, they buy it based off what? Word of mouth or maybe just perception or maybe just assumption or whatever it may be.
Okay, like, so let's go a slightly different direction for a second.
Go ahead.
Rolex versus Tudor.
Okay, I don't know anything about watches. We're not going to go in a good direction.
Right, but like Rolex is, I would call it a luxury watch. It's a very high quality watch.
Yeah.
But it's also Rolex makes Tudor watches.
Okay.
It's a lower brand in that sense.
Okay.
But it's not going to have the same fit and finish to it. It's, you know, again, Lexus and Toyota. There's a level of refinement that goes into a Lexus that you're not going to find into a Toyota.
Yeah.
They're both, in many instances, on same chassis and, well, you know, you're going to finding the same tech,
uh-huh.
like CarPlay, for example, right?
Well, okay, but here's a question. That's a great example, because now here's the same question to your watch example. Well, people who, the watch only tells time. Now, well, people who have the Tudor watch or have it, you know, whatever, are they going to say, I'm going to save up for the Rolex because I just love the way that they're built. I love how good and well-crafted they are, whatever it may be. Or do they want the Rolex so they could be like, yo, I got a Rolly, you know?
No, they're buying a Rolex because it's a higher quality watch. Okay. And there's a bit of status associated with it too.
Then in that sense, I would be wrong then. But, you know, I just don't know if I don't know if people.
Those words actually came out of your mouth, not mine.
Oh, I know. It's okay. I can admit being wrong. I'm okay with that. But I just don't particularly believe that a lot of people think like that. But I might be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, if people didn't think like that, we wouldn't have luxury brands.
I guess so. I kind of just feel like it's just people who's got the money like that. I don't know if they actually know about it, but.
I think enough people know about it, and it's more of. One's tolerance of expenses, you know, sort of what they're willing to spend on things, and sort of what their perceived value is. And I mean, there's a lot of things that roll into it, but you know, luxury brands provide something that, yeah, there's status associated to it. There's quality associated to it that you're not going to find with lower level brands.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sense of refinement that comes from something that, you know, the finish is going to be that much nicer. You know, the wood on the trim is going to be that much nicer to look at.
Yeah. And these are all things that go beyond just tech features per se.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there are different trim levels of vehicles because, well, I don't want to, you know, why would I want a certain car to have cloth seats when I can have, say, leather seats, right? Mm-hmm. But like in the case of my Gladiator, I don't want leather seats in that thing. I have cloth seats in there.
Yeah.
You know, spills happen, things happen, and I don't want to ruin good leather, and I don't want a sweaty back when I'm off-roading.
Yeah, of course. No one wants that.
So it's, you know, we buy nice things because it's something that we feel that we want to invest into because it, for whatever, whether it's joy or whatever emotion we get from it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the case of getting a luxury vehicle, there's, yes, they are more expensive, but, you know, I would argue that they are worth it.
Yeah. To be fair, you know, when I talk about the luxury stuff, it's funny, though, because I've actually never really had a big appeal for luxury cars. I've always been more appealing to sports cars and stuff like that. You know, I'd rather lose all those features. But when I do look at the Integra Type S over the Type R, like those features, I'm like starting to look pretty good.
Yeah, you know? I mean, like,
even though I know you said it's not much of a luxury car, but it's more luxurious than the Type R. So when I look at that, it's funny. All of a sudden, I've come full circle, and I'm like, no, actually, it looks pretty nice now.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I mentioned earlier that, you know, the family truckster is an LX470.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, for all intents and purposes, it is a 100 series Land Cruiser.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But, you know, there's a clear coat on the paint versus being a single stage paint.
Right. See, that's a luxury to me. Like, yeah. That's a true luxury to me.
You know, there's nicer trim inside the vehicle. You know, there's when the vehicle was released, there were a few more tech features that were brought onto it. Like, there was a night vision option on it that you could find, that you could only find in the Lexus vehicle.
That's cool.
Versus the Toyota vehicle. But they're both on the same chassis. For the most part, the body style, other than, you know, the front grille setup, I think a little bit of the back tailgate area, those are a little bit different. But everything else, for all intents and purposes, it's 100 series Land Cruiser. But but here's the crazy thing. I think this is the only instance where the Land Cruiser variant is actually worth more expensive than the Lexus variant.
Why? Is this resale?
The name Land Cruiser.
Yeah, yeah.
So Land Cruiser itself, I mean, it just commands that much more value.
Oh, yeah, they hold their value like crazy.
Yeah, and so when I was looking for a 100 series Land Cruiser, I went for the Lexus variant because it was the value proposition, but it was the exact same vehicle. And then, you know, certain things like the clear coat and the paint, so it's more protective when we actually go use it on the trail and, you know, beat it up a little bit. You know, I found that to be a value add to the purchase that didn't come with extra, you know, a dollar value associated to it. So I think that one, though, it's tough to sort of make that difference, that distinguishing difference between the two. And maybe argue that's maybe the only one out there that has that sort of difference.
Right, right, right.
But that Lexus vehicle, when it was released, there was an additional level of refinement that came from it that was worth the extra value. And, you know, that's why you buy luxury vehicles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's about all I got. What about you?
I think we've tapped this one pretty good. I mean, I would, and so comments, like, please, like, jump in.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Because let us know.
I mean, this is, you know, do you prefer a vehicle with luxurious options or do you prefer a luxury vehicle? And those that defining, what are the definitions of that?
Yeah.
You know, I think luxury vehicles, again, there's a level of refinement that comes from them. You know, you can still have an inexpensive vehicle with luxurious options, but definitely does not make it a luxury vehicle.
That's fair enough. All right. Well, guys, let us know what you guys think about the luxury cars. And then if you guys don't have any thoughts on it, leave a comment and say what's up to John. Welcome to the team. That's about it. We'll see you guys on the next one.
See ya.